Hello, beautiful people. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling amazing? Are you feeling good? Or are you excited to learn something new? I'm sure you are excited to learn something new. Now it's time to dive into chapter 4 of CRM, which is Economics of Customer Relationship Management. The first topic is market share versus share of customer. What is market share? Out of total purchases of a customer, of a product or a service, whatever percentage is going to the company is going to be defining its market share. In other words, if a consumer as a whole buys 100 soaps and 40 of which are from one company, that company holds 40% market share. As simple as that. The significance of market share. Market share is a measure of consumers' preference for a product over the similar products. A higher market share usually means greater sales, lesser efforts to sell more, and a strong barrier to entry for other competitors. A higher market share also means that if the market expands, the leader gains more than the others. By the same token, a market leader, as defined by its market share, also has to expand the market for its own growth. What is the share of the customer? Simply defined, it is the portion of the customer's purchasing that a company gets in its product. Companies spend a great deal of time and money trying to improve customer loyalty by measuring and managing metrics like satisfaction and net promoter scores. But traditional gauges of loyalty correlate poorly with what matters the most, share of wallet. This is the percentage of a customer spending within a category that's captured by a given brand or a store or firm. Customer share versus market share. There's a big difference between customer share and market share. Market share strategy equals to trying to get a little bit from a lot of customers. Customer share strategy equals to focusing on getting as much as possible from fewer customers. It is cheaper to retain existing customers than acquiring new ones, which means higher gross margins, higher profit, which means a business is growing. Increase the share of wallet. Increase the share of wallet refers to the amount of your customers' total spending within a product category that your business captures with the products and services that it offers. A higher share of wallet means that your customers are spending more money to buy your products than to buy a competitor's products. Right? Companies grow wallet share by introducing multiple products and services to generate as much revenue as possible from each customer. Share of wallet, SOW, is also used as a marketing metric to calculate the percentage of a customer's spending for a type of product or service that goes to a particular company. For example, if a customer spends $800 a month at fast food restaurants and $400 of that amount is spent at McDonald's, McDonald's now has a 50% share of wallet for that customer. The term is sometimes expressed as wallet share as well. It's one of the key drivers of retention. Once your customers took the risk to try a product once, they want to be able to predict what will be the experience of coming back. Tracking share of wallet is a revenue-based measurement that gauges the depth of customer relationship. It is a part of your profitability measurement system. Memberships, a way to keep your customers hooked. What exactly is it? Membership is a state of belonging to a group of people that have access to special benefits. It's about rewarding members, that is your most loyal customers, with special offers other non-members cannot have. How it works, I'll tell you with an example. One of the biggest, best membership examples is Amazon's biggest win as a retailer is their Amazon Prime membership. According to a study by Consumer Intelligence, research partners, Prime members shop more than non-members. As a matter of fact, Prime members shop on Amazon 26 times per year versus 14 times for non-Prime members. Amazon uses a membership program to increase its share of customer, share of wallet, by giving access to free delivery and unlimited video and music streaming as well. Amazon rewards its most loyal customers. Spotify has completely changed the way music listeners access their music when it started in 2008 with a free version back in the day with commercials and an ad-free subscription-based service. Spotify has millions of songs, audiobooks, podcasts, and live performances available to stream. The algorithms create a personalized listening experience for each person. It operates on a freemium revenue model with a basic ad-supported service available for free and an unlimited premium service. D2C or direct to consumer is the core business model of Dollar Shave Club. Essentially, Dollar Shave Club built a business model by eliminating the middlemen, that is wholesalers and distributors, to sell to the customers directly. Dollar Shave Club was one of the first proponents of the D2C revolution. Number three is upselling. Make additional features more attractive. What exactly is it? Upselling is about encouraging your customers to purchase a comparable higher-end product than the one they're considered buying. What they're already using, if you can upsell them something much more meaningful, much more higher-end, it's going to be a win-win for you and the customer as well. How it exactly works, I'll tell you. You can encourage people to boost core features. For example, in most opticians' stores, they recommend a user to buy anti-blue light lenses to protect their eyes if the use of screens is high. Opticians use different qualities of lenses as a way to upsell. An important takeaway about upselling in this example is very simple. You must focus on key features that make your product so much better in the eyes of your customers. Simply that. How can you make your product better in the eyes of the customers? That's it. That's what they're looking for. Sell them a package. Do not sell them, but help them solve their problem with the best possible product available to you. While upselling is very common in Indian business scenarios, especially with most Indian private banks, upselling takes place when the banks sell their customers additional or more expensive products or services in addition to what they've already purchased. It's all about selling the value that comes with purchasing the upgraded version of a product or service. Banks like HDFC and ICICI Bank often offer a free credit card first, then bank account, then insurance, then mutual funds. You got the point? Easiest thing. Get the person in the door. Let them become a part of your ecosystem. And then gradually upsell your different offerings, making and increasing your per customer income for the company. Thus, upselling is the most beautiful form of increasing revenue from your already existing customers. And specifically in a scenario like India, it's the most beautiful thing ever that you can do to get more business and more revenue and higher ROIs. Number four, series. Building anticipation into your products. What is it? A series consists of a number of similar or related products, events, or experiences. They may share the same topic or theme and may also follow one another in a particular order. This is a technique that authors and filmmakers use a lot. Star Wars, Harry Potter, FIFA, the video game, are all series. They build anticipation for you to be wanting more and looking forward to what's coming next. How does it work? Why are more successful authors and filmmakers creating series rather than standalone pieces? Simple answer. It is just as hard for an author to sell a standalone book as it is to sell the first one of the series. Right? Do you agree with that? I'm sure you do. But once they've managed to hook a customer into a series, this customer is most likely to buy all the books in that series. That's the best example of a series-based selling. Movies, Jurassic Park, James Bond, Avengers, Golmaal, Stranger Things, etc. Sports, the World Cup, FIFA, Cricket World Cup, Formula One races, etc. Mobiles and electronic goods, Apple iPhone, Samsung. Hotels, different regional and country-specific cuisine festivals. All of these are series which make your customers come back to you as a brand. Think of what you can do and offer as series. For example, let's say you're a student right now, or you've already done a business, or you're a working professional, and now you want to do something of your own. Build a series of things that you can do from small things to a bigger event, which can help you get loyal customers again and again and again to your business, to your brand. Number five, insurance. Creating peace of mind at a premium. Apple is a great example of a company that does upselling very well. When you get a new iPhone or iPad, Apple offers Apple Care Plus. Offering an insurance and support package is a way to increase customer share. It's a technique for Apple to increase their share of customer. Every time someone gets an iPhone or iPad, they are likely to consider a 2-year insurance policy. See, single reason being the product is so premium and so expensive that you would want to have an insurance policy with you. It's not only going to help you retain an error or a fault in the product, or simply just replace the product in case of something else. Airlines do that very well too. They sell you travel and cancellation insurances. This is a very clever way to make sure that they make more profit from each customer while providing additional peace of mind. A higher gross margin is great. It allows them to afford to spend more on acquiring new customers. So by increasing their share of customer, they get a new, stronger budget to increase later their market share. Because the game is all about increasing your market share at the end of the day, my friend. Right? So what can you do? Create insurances. Create something which you can sell at a premium. Right? From an insurance policy for a phone or an airline or so on and so forth. Zomato Pro, Spotify Premium, and more such offers by Tech Products ensure better service and delivery. Insurance is peace of mind. Insurance is peace of mind. Brands are looking to give better experience to the customers by onboarding them to premium and insured models of businesses. Like we saw in the example of Amazon Prime, it's peace of mind. Faster deliveries, no-cost deliveries, free streaming on music and video. All of that in just one Amazon Prime as a service. Lifetime value of customers. The customer lifetime value we've already learned in the chapters ahead is a measure of the total income a business can expect to bring in from a typical customer for as long as that person or account remains a client. When you're measuring the CLV, it's best to look at the total average revenue generated by a customer and the total average profit. Each provides important insights into how customers interact with your business and if your overall marketing plan is working as expected. Customer lifetime value, CLV, or LTV for lifetime value, helps you predict future revenue and measure long-term business successes. CLV tells you how much profit your company can expect from a typical client over the course of the relationship. More to the point, CLV helps you estimate how much should you invest in order to retain a customer. It's very important for you to know how much should you keep investing in a customer in order to retain them. Economics of customer acquisition. The idea of customer acquisition isn't much different from the way the stock market runs. It's driven by supply and demand. Timothy Sykes, investment guru, gives an excellent description of supply and demand in the stock market. When there are more buyers than sellers, the stock prices rise to attract more sellers. As simple as that. When there are more buyers than sellers, the stock prices rise to attract more sellers. And when there are more sellers than buyers, stock prices fall to attract more buyers. Price is always changing based on supply and demand principle only and nothing else. The same goes for customer acquisition, and it's an important component in calculating the actual cost of a customer. Obviously, the more customers you have, the more profits you're making. As simple as that. Like, there's no two ways about it. But you got to understand the supply and demand principle and the model of supply and demand. The fewer the customers, the fewer the profits. Therefore, if you're trying to get customers on board, make sure that every customer has cost implications related to services available versus services desired. Right? Every customer that is coming on board has a cost implication related to services available versus services that they desire. Because you're functioning with these basic market forces. What does it cost to acquire a new customer? Fortunately, there is no science to it. Nothing. Nada. Nil. Nothing. Even with the most data-driven customer retention efforts, there are times when you need to turn your attention to new opportunities or tap into new target audience to grow your businesses. Because there is no science, there is no specific formula to calculate how much does it acquire to a new customer. Customer acquisition costs. The first step in truly understanding the economics of acquisition is calculating the lifetime value of the average customer. Tallying up the cash flows you'll receive on average And putting this in a dollar amount will show you the value, which will act as your baseline as you begin to evaluate several other aspects of acquisition, including annual spending. Define the difference between your one-time customers and loyal customers by looking at what they spend. In general, the loyal customers will spend much more rapidly, particularly as you present more offers. From there, you can determine if you should be spending more to acquire new customers or you should be holding back because you're putting too much of a dent in your profit margins. And you always know that your loyal customers will be the ones who keep purchasing more rapidly versus the ones who just purchase and disappear for the rest of the year. Retention rate. You can discover likely retention patterns simply by evaluating the longevity of your biggest spender. Based on their interactions and the costs you presented to win their loyalty, you can gauge the cost of retention. Price points. Your one-time and infrequent customers will snap up any deal and discount they can get, while your loyal customers are less likely to quibble over price because they're coming to you or the brand for a bigger value, not just for the price. Compare the margins of what you make from your loyal customers with the margins you make from your less loyal crew. You'll understand your price points. Word of mouth. Sometimes the cost of acquisition is measured less in dollars and more by the actions of your customers. If they're spreading the word about your business and products, that reduces your costs and ups your profits. This is an important metric to measure since 84% of customers say that they trust recommendations from friends, colleagues, and families. Very important piece to note. 84% people trust recommendations from family, colleagues, and friends. 84%. I'm sure you've seen that in your life on a daily basis as well. That's the most important and the most amazing form of marketing, which is word of mouth. Why is CSE important? Having an understanding of your marketplace's CSE, offer also referred to as customer acquisition cost or cost per acquisition, is more important than providing pitch deck fluff. Yeah, fluff. Whilst your underlying unit economics are fundamental indicators of the profitability of your business, they can also empower you to make data-based decisions on how best to invest your previous cash. In new customers or in retention of customers, what exactly should you do? Customer value. Loyal customers will be worth more to you than your non-valued customers. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't bring more customers to your company. You must look at consumers like they have the potential to stay with your company for years to come. If you knew every first time consumers would make at least one purchase per month for the rest of their lives, you would do whatever it took to get those customers on board because you need those customers. You need these high-valued customers in your business for a longer survival or a longer profit or a higher profit for that matter. Boost your customer acquisition. Ultimately, the best way to ensure positive customer acquisition is to boost your customer numbers, thereby dropping the acquisition cost per customer, right? The more you drop the acquisition cost, the boost in number of customer acquisition is going to happen. So what do you do to drop your acquisition cost per customer? There are certain aspects of acquisition that you should work on developing, such as use videos as many as possible. One of the highest and the biggest trends in digital marketing for the year 2023 is short form videos. Right now, online video consumption is taking over the internet and dominating for the age groups 18 to 35, and even lesser and even a little higher as well. According to a Nielsen survey, video traffic will make up to 80% of online internet traffic in 2019. It already did that much. It's certainly going to be at least 90% of traffic in 2023 and the years to come. It's currently one of the best ways to reach the younger generation and increase your customer reach. You have reels, you have shorts, you have 5-second videos, you have non-skippable videos. You have videos which are 45 seconders. Select, choose whatever works for you. Choose your objective. Choose your video duration. Choose your platform. Choose How will you deliver it? What kind of video? Make interactions more personal. Personalization is paramount to the success of your selling and your acquiring new customers. Make interactions more personal. Marketing tools have evolved significantly in the last 7 to 8 years, making it possible for you to tailor your marketing towards a targeted audience, a focused audience, a narrower audience. Using personalization to your advantage can be a great way to see your acquisition rates jump up. For example, personalized emails receive 6 times the transaction and the revenue rates of traditional emails. Now imagine that your name is Rahul and you came to my website. You did not purchase the product I was selling to you. Maybe it is a course. I send you an email. Hi Rahul, hope you're doing great. Wishing you a very happy new year in advance. You came to my website and you checked out the course Roadmap to Digital Marketing, but you did not purchase it. I am sure there are so many things that you might be considering, but this is one of the best courses because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'm going to offer you a very special code, very special discount offer just right now. So go ahead, use this code and enroll in the course before 31st December because the offer is only valid for the next 24 hours. This kind of an email is more personalized and is going to make you want to take an action. Engage around the clock. The internet doesn't sleep, my friend. And if you want to make your customers feel truly valued, you cannot either. You have to have your online engagement and your online reputation game as strong as possible. As unrealistic as it may sound, consumers expect 24/7 engagement with brands. Yeah, 24/7. That's exactly where freelancers and customer service companies come in handy. They can help you tend your customer at all times. Even if they respond at 2 o'clock in the morning, so they'll have a better answer at 8 a.m. It's still better than no response at all. And you can obviously get ORM tools, which can help you automate certain responses for your customers, right from their comments to their DMs, to their emails, to their tweets. Generic responses can be automated and can be fed an automated response in. But your customers want to be heard and want a response in ASAP, not even 1 hour. They want response ASAP. That's it, my friend. Economies of customer retention. There's a strong economic argument in favor of customer retention. It is as follows. Increasing purchases as tenure grows. Over time, customers come to know their suppliers. Providing the relationship is satisfactory, trust grows whilst risk and uncertainty are reduced. Therefore, customers commit more of their spending to those suppliers with which they have a proven and a satisfactory relationship. Lower customer management costs over time. Absolutely right. In this, the relationship startup costs that are incurred when a customer is acquired can be quite high. It may take several years for enough profit to be earned from the relationship to recover those acquisition costs. For example, it can take 6 years to recover the cost of winning a new retail bank customers. 6 years. In the B2B context, in particular, ongoing relationship maintenance costs such as selling and service costs can be low relative to the costs of winning the account. Therefore, there is a high probability that the account will become more profitable on a period-by-period basis as tenure lengthens. These relationship maintenance costs may eventually be significantly reduced or even eliminated as the parties become closer over time. In B2B context, once automated processes are in place, transaction costs are effectively eliminated and portals largely transfer account service costs to the customers. In B2C, business to consumer context, especially in retailing, the assertion that the acquisition costs generally exceed retention costs is hard to prove. This is in part because it is very difficult to isolate and measure customer acquisition costs. In this example, we will take a fictitious mobile company that sells mobiles. The company spent 10 lakh on advertising last month and its marketing team says 10,000 new orders were placed. This suggests a customer acquisition cost or CAC of 100. However, in this case, the average order placed by customers is 1000. This means that on average, the company makes 1 crore to pay for salaries, web hosting, office space, and other general expenses. Well, this is the quick and dirty calculation. What happens if the customers make more than one purchase over their lifetime? What if they completely stop shopping at brick and mortar grocery stores and buy from only this company? The purpose of customer lifetime value is specifically designed to resolve this. You can find a CLV calculator by simply searching in your favorite search engines. In general, this metric helps you from a more accurate understanding of what the customer acquisition cost means to your company and how can you make it even more effective for the longer run. A CAC of 10,000 customers, acquisition cost may be quite low if customers make a 5,000 purchase every week for 20 years. A CAC for 10,000 customers, acquisition costs may be quite low if customers make a 5,000 purchase every week for 20 years. However, in this e-commerce company, they are struggling to keep customers and most of the customers make only one purchase. Right? You getting my point? All right. Customer referrals. Customers who are willing to commit more of their purchases to a preferred supplier are generally more satisfied than other customers who do not. These are therefore more likely to utter positive word of mouth and influence other beliefs, feelings, behaviors of other people. Research shows that customers who are frequent buyers are heavier referrers. Frequently buy karenge, to fatafat refer karenge. If they keep buying more often, they'll keep referring you to other people. For example, online clothing customers who have bought once refer 3 people. After 10 purchases, they will have referred 7. However, it is also likely that newly acquired customers, freshly enthused by their experience, would be powerful word of mouth advocates. Perhaps more than longer term customers who are more habituated. Premium prices. Customers who are satisfied in the relationship may reward their suppliers by paying higher prices. This is because of only one reason, that they get their sense of value from more than price alone. It is not just the price that they value, it is much more beyond that. Customers in an established relationship are also likely to be less responsive to price appeals offered by competitors. Which customers to retain? Simply, the customers who have greatest strategic value to your company are prime candidates for your attention. These are the customers who have high customer lifetime value or are otherwise strategically significant as high volume customers, benchmarks, inspirationers, or door openers. That means that they take you to new places as well. They're sticking around with you for a longer time and their per order value is a higher volume. You need to bear in mind that there may be a considerable cost of customer retention. Your most valued customers are also likely to be very attractive towards your competitors. If the cost of retaining your customers becomes too great, then they might lose their status as strategically significant. Yep, you need to keep in mind, keep retaining them, keep working with them, keep retaining them, no matter what. The level of commitment between your customer and you will figure in the decision about which customers to retain. If the customer is highly committed, they will be impervious to the appeals of competitors and you will not need to invest so much in their attention. On the other hand, if you have highly significant customers who are not committed, you may want to invest considerable sums in their attention. Some companies prefer to focus their attention efforts on their recently acquired customers. They often have greater value, future lifetime value, potential than longer tenure customers. There is some evidence that retention rate rises over time. So if defections can be prevented in the early stages of a relationship, there will be a payoff in future revenue streams and profitability as well. Another justification for focusing on recently acquired customers comes from research into service failures. When customers experience service failure, they may be more forgiving if they have a history of good service with the provider. Imagine that you go to a shop and you get the best service over there for the last 6 years. Today, because of some reason, you did not get the best service. You are more likely to ignore it because of the 6 years of loyalty and trust that they have developed over you. In other words, customers who have been recently acquired and let down are more likely to defect or reduce their spending than customers who have satisfactory history with the supplier. There's also some evidence that the most valuable customers change over time. The UK retail organization, John Lewis Partnership, for example, has found that 50% of profits are produced by 5% of their customers. But that composition of the 5% of their customers changes year on year. Retention efforts where there is portfolio purchasing can be very difficult, for sure, right? Activity-based costing for CRM. In the mid-2000s, Robert Kaplan, the father of the balanced scorecard, issued a report stating the following customer profitability. Kaplan cites a myriad of things that can drive this profitability curve. One where 40% of your customers drive maximum profitability, the next 50% you just break even on, and 10% where you lose big. The list is wide-ranging: product or service customization, smaller order quantities, special packaging, expedited and just-in-time delivery, substantial pre-sales support from marketing, technical and sales resources, extra post-sales support for installation, training, warranty and field service, and liberal payment terms. While all of these services create value and loyalty among customers, none of them come for free. Special delivery, special packaging, free orders, faster delivery, higher resources, extra sales support, so on and so forth. None of these are going to come for free, my friend. Remember that. Most companies have focused the profitability measurements on the thing they can measure, which is product profits. With the right customer relationship management and business intelligence infrastructure, leading companies are now able to assign costs driven by the non-product related items that Kaplan mentions. Specifically, those around substantial pre-sales support from marketing, technical, and sales resources, extra post-sales support for installation, training, warranty, and field service. The exercise is actually a very pretty simple one. With the right CRM application in place, you can track activities, all that drive costs to a specific customer or product. Sales calls, service calls, etc. can be allocated a value and applied to the customer profitability equation. Activity-based costing. Identify activity-based costing. Identify activities and activity pools. Directly trace or estimate costs to activities and cost objectives. Assign costs to activity cost pools. Calculate activity cost drivers rates. Assign costs to cost objects. Prepare reports. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Identify the activities, trace the estimated costs, assign cost to activity cost products, cost pools, calculate activity costs, assign cost to cost objects, prepare the report. What benefits does the activity-based costing provide? Activity-based costing provides a more accurate method of product service costing, leading to more accurate pricing decisions. It increases understanding of overheads and cost drivers, and makes costly and non-value-adding activities more visible, allowing managers to reduce or eliminate them. Activity-based costing enables effective challenge of operating costs to find better ways of allocating and eliminating overheads. It also enables improved product and customer profitability analysis. It also supports performance management techniques such as continuous improvement and scorecards. In the year 1991, major automobile manufacturer Chrysler introduced activity-based costing as part of their accounting practices. After overcoming the internal resistance, training team members and enduring initial failures, they were able to successfully implement activity-based costing throughout the organization. And since its implementation, Chrysler estimates that activity-based costing has helped them generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the corporation by initiating simplified product designs and eliminating redundant and unproductive activities. A genius way to save $1 million. This example right here by Chrysler. This represents that there are 10 to 20 times greater than companies' investment and implementation costs of the activity-based costing program. In addition to the financial benefits to the organization, Chrysler has become a teacher and innovator for other organizations looking to apply activity-based costing methods into their accounting practices. They even sponsor their own 5-day core competency course, which has been attended by a lot of their employees. This is amazing, right? Implementing activity-based costing program, training the employees, getting it into the system, and saving millions of dollars. It is important that organizational leaders and managers keep their operations efficient and profitable at all times possible. However, implementing new accounting methods can be costly and time-consuming. If managers are able to test new methods and gain the support of stakeholders and team members, activity-based costing can take their organization to the next level. Finally, we come to the conclusions from the chapter. What did we learn? Market share versus share of customer, share of customer wallet, membership model, upselling model, introducing series or upgrades, insurance or premium, customer lifetime value, customer acquisition cost, and activity-based costing. I hope this entire chapter has taught you so much more about CRM, and I will continue to do so in the further chapters. Until then, I'm sure you're glued to your screen, so go take a break, take a walk around, listen to music, take a deep breath in and deep breath out. And you know what to do, my friend. Whoever you meet, whenever you can, wherever you go, don't forget to smile and spread a smile. Thank you so much.